What's up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How are you?
I am good. I actually stopped and thought about it, but I think, yeah, I am. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Having a case of the, is it Sundays? Is that what you call it?
Oh, I forgot for a second it was Sunday.
Yeah,
Thank you for reminding me of the Sundays,
but I'm going to enjoy recording this episode and try not to think about it.
Yes, let's do that.
But happy to be here. Happy
day before Black History Month?
Day before, is it today? It is the day before Black History Month. Happy that.
Happy that.
Yeah, that's exciting. And day before, not day before anything. I was originally going to say NFC East and AFC East Championship Day.
Oh, it is that day.
Yeah, I was going to say happy NFC East and AFC Championship.
Happy football.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's all I got as far as the intro.
Okay. Not going to talk. How was your week?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
People been trying it.
Oh, okay.
But that's how my week was. How was yours?
My week was, I guess, less combative than that.
And normally, it's smooth. It's pretty smooth sailing. But this week, nope. But I had time. It's okay.
Okay. Well, note to self. Bronzy has time. My week was pretty... I had a fun week. We were just kind of talking about my trip to D.C., though some people in the room are a little upset that they were left out of the fun. We'll figure that out. But no, I went down
I'm not that person in the room, just so y'all know.
I went down to D.C. and got to hang out with some friends, some college friends. Got to hang out with some family that I haven't seen since before COVID, since I'm on this, like, East Coast tour.
Right.
My final tour of the East Coast before the big move.
The big move. Are you excited?
I am.
It's really quickly approaching.
It really is. So I'm going to visit in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It'll be, I would say, like my first official time visiting. Huh? I guess so. Okay, so for the people out there who don't know, I am moving to Portland in the coming months.
Wait. Like, she's not just moving. She's moving.
Yeah, to Portland.
Yeah, that's moving. Like, that's not, I'm going around the street, going a couple states.
Well, I said Portland.
Or down the coast.
What else you want me to say? I'm moving to Portland, Oregon. Yes, I'm moving to the West Coast, leaving Brooklyn after 10 years. Living the East Coast after all my life. Mm-hmm. Moving to the West Coast, to Portland. Going to visit in a couple of weeks just to, you know.
Get acclimated.
Get your grounding. Hopefully find an apartment during that time and then make the move in a couple of months. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Sad and exciting. I'm excited for you. I'm sad for me.
Well, I'm sad to be... I'm sad to be leaving my friends on the East Coast.
But the way you like to punch these miles and flights, I ain't worried about it.
True. Very true.
You know, I'll be out there too, so it's all good.
Very, very true. I guess, though, with all of that, and again, like with me on this East Coast tour and saying bye to folks and all of that kind of stuff, in the coming months, our format is going to have to
shift.
So we still haven't figured out what that looks like, but just know it will obviously not be the two of us sitting at this table anymore. But the podcast will continue. We'll figure it out just like we did during COVID.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
We always figure it out. Before we hop into Above the Fold, let's cheers.
Yes. Our producer told us that we had been slacking and we have been on the... Got it. Cheers. Clink, clink.
What are we drinking today, Janelle?
We are drinking an orange wine from a countryside in Germany. It's very fruit forward on the... I don't know. All I know is it's an orange wine. I made all the rest of that up. I can't tell you where it was from. I went to the wine shop.
Listen, if it's orange, Janelle is drinking it.
I said, girl, you know what I'm here for. She said, try this.
Okay, it's good. I like it. Tell her good job.
I will.
Orange wine to match your orange nails.
Sure.
Red orange, yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to jump into Above the Fold?
Let's do it.
So we spoke about football, right? Which is on now while we're recording. And, you know, Super Bowl is synonymous with the halftime show, the Pepsi halftime show.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure you've seen the lineup and all that, the promotion that's been going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
There was this ad that recently dropped.
Yeah, Pepsi ad, because they always sponsor the halftime show.
Yep. And what'd you think of it?
I thought it was good. I mean, it gave what you would expect an ad for the brand sponsoring the halftime show would get. I think it was directed by F. Gary Gray, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it features everybody who's going to be in the halftime show. So Dr. Dre is in there, Snoop, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar. It's going to be a G-Funk themed halftime show. So you got all that with splashes of Pepsi branding. It gave high budget.
Extremely high budget.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Are you looking forward to the halftime show? In comparison to years past, how are you feeling?
Depends on what years past we're talking. In comparison to last year, who performed last year?
Well, that's not a good indication.
All right. So yeah, in comparison to last year, yes, I'm looking forward to it. In comparison to the year that Beyonce performed, probably not.
Right. I really don't know.
Was it The Weeknd when he was like running through? That was The Weeknd.
Yep, it was The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then before that was Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop got classics. Kendrick has classics. Rumor is that Mary is doing one song, the one song that is not called Holleration, Hateration, Holleration, which I just found out today was not the name of that song.
Mm-hmm.
so I'm still reckoning with that news.
What's the name of the song, Janelle?
Family Affair.
Yes.
It should be called Hateration, Holleration.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I have the same feelings about the ad. It's on brand for Pepsi. I enjoy Pepsi's sponsorship of the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And how they connect with artists or use artists as their spokespersons for seasons. You know, the Michael Jackson, the Beyonce, whatever, it goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always hoping that they get their ads right.
Yeah. It's
ever since the whole, who was that? Police and the...
Kendall Jenner?
Ever since
Kendall.
And all that. But like you said, it's pretty much what you would expect from a company, Pepsi, big budget, star-studded. All the bells and whistles.
Yeah. Could you ever see a Pepsi making a mistake like that again? Or do you think, like, we've learned, now we're going to be, like...
Oh, ooh, really? I mean, that's hard to say. I want to say no,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not putting it past anybody to...
That's true. That's very true. That's safe.
...make that type of mistake again.
But with that, though, we know that, obviously, we're in the season where all these Super Bowl ads are going to start popping up, especially with the internet now. It's part of the play that they seed them to the public way earlier than the actual Super Bowl. So I'm assuming over the next, 2 weeks, we're going to see a lot more Super Bowl ads before the big game, one of which will be, I believe, a Megan Thee Stallion Flamin' Hot Cheetos spot. So they've been kind of teasing it with kind of like mini social spots and things like that.
I'm hoping that the spot brings it all together.
Yes. Because it, yeah. I'm assuming.
Oh, maybe I'm just slow.
What do you mean?
I don't get the spots.
I think we're not supposed to get it until the actual ad drops.
Right.
So,
I'm not wrong
up.
In saying that. I hope that the actual spot brings it all together.
Like, she shows up to set. They ask her if she's allergic to animals, if she's allergic to sloths and weird stuff. And she's like, what have I gotten myself into? And I don't think we understand what she has gotten herself into until the Super Bowl spot releases. I do think that, you know, obviously it's a partnership that makes sense. Megan Thee Stallion, Hot Girl, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, like, duh.
Yeah, remember we literally said, what's next? When will it end? How long will this go?
As long as things are hot, there's a lane for her.
Yeah.
She has made, you know,
Oh yeah, she did the Flaming.
Yeah,
that's together,
I think,
right?
Yeah, I think Cheetos, that's the same brand.
Yeah.
So looking forward to seeing what other, again, Super Bowl ads drop. I'm sure we will be talking about them on our next episode. Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
When you won't be here.
We'll figure it out.
We will.
We'll figure it out off mic.
I see. We good there?
No, we're good. We're good. I was just going to say, staying in the sports.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very sports-heavy episode.
Right? Hmm.
Yeah. Did you want to introduce it?
Yes. J.R. Smith signs an NIL representation deal.
And what I will say is, call this shit.
You did. You absolutely did. Because I was like, all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, just wait, watch. You absolutely did call this.
Because it makes sense. J.R. Smith, as you said, signs with Excel Sports for NIL representation, which is name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fairly recent... if you don't know, J.R. Smith used to be a pro basketball player. Can't remember how many years in the league he was in, he played for, but he won a couple of championships when he was at the Cavaliers, when he was in Cleveland. But he has since retired and has gone back to school at North Carolina A&T, an HBCU, and he has joined the golf team. So he is a student athlete. And with the new NIL rules as it pertains to NCAA student athletes, they can partner with brands and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that J.R. Smith will be the first former pro athlete to get this kind of representation as a student athlete at an HBCU, which I think is pretty cool. And again, I think it makes sense because, you know, he already has shown, we know he's an athlete. I don't know if he did any like major brand deals when he was in league. And I think that kind of could have been because, you know, his reputation as like a bad boy partier, whatever, that he seemed to, you know, he's mature now. He's back in school, whatever. So I think it makes sense. I see you. You look like you're thinking about something. You're thinking about, I see the but, the what if, there's something on your face. What's up?
I don't want to be that person. So it does make sense. I will say that. I'm just wondering. Words.
What?
It makes sense.
What's the con?
Nothing.
Okay. Then I guess sticking in that lane then, talking about name, image, and likeness representation and deals, we see that Shedeur Sanders just partnered with Gatorade. So again, talking about an HBCU, he's a freshman quarterback. He's the son of Deion Sanders.
State.
Yeah, Jackson State, where Deion Sanders is the coach. He's his son. And this is the first time Gatorade has partnered with an HBCU athlete.
This is the first. Oh, yeah.
So we've seen in the past, I don't know of many NIL deals that they've done with like kids in college and stuff
period,
like that.
Right.
But, you know, all their recent athletes.
Well, like you said, the NIL situation
is fairly
for
new.
NCAA athletes is fairly new.
Yeah. But I think that even athletes that have graduated and gone on to pros, like none of them have come from HBCUs that they partnered with previously. So this is a first of its kind in many different ways. And again, love seeing that it's not just athletes coming out of, you know, big programs that are getting these deals, that we see these student athletes from HBCUs that are getting these lucrative deals as well.
I want to see it continue to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's been the sentiments that we've kind of echoed or continue to echo. It's just around HBCUs and the level of attention that they get mm-hmm. from sports, because a lot of times that's a dichotomy that student athletes have to face when they decide which school they want to go to.
Yeah.
They may want that HBCU experience, but they don't feel like the same opportunities come along with it.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, these sorts of instances are...
Yeah. And I will say, and I think we've talked about it before, just like all the work that Deion Sanders is doing at Jackson State, mm-hmm. right? Like, number one, obviously, he's a superstar to come back and or to go there and be a coach. And all of his brand deals, because he does a couple, like, I think he's in an Aflac commercial, maybe. He has Aflac. But he's like Coach Sanders in the Aflac commercial. Yes. He has the Jackson State band in the spot with him. And then he did what some would have said was impossible fairly recently. I don't think we spoke about it, but he got the top recruit for this upcoming class who had committed to Florida State to switch and come to Jackson State. That's major.
Oh, wow.
That's major. And that's got a lot of these white folk little shit.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I love that. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But yeah, when you find these little pockets, feels like there's hope that will continue to be the trajectory.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this isn't just an anomaly, or it's not just, you know, it doesn't just happen at Jackson State. I hope that we start to see other HBCUs mm-hmm. bringing in top-tier talent from a coaching level that then influences the kind of talent that they're bringing in and the kind of money and sponsorships that they're able to bring in and all of that. So, love it.
Speaking of football... This is off topic.
Okay.
Taking a little rabbit chase. Did you see, like, the NFL now has one black head coach?
Well, I know they fired the Dolphins head coach who was black.
But literally, there's only one now, and that's the Steelers head coach.
Mike Tomlin?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it last episode that we were talking about how Twitter had like, modeled their... What is it called?
I know that
they had modeled their criteria for like hiring after this rule from the NFL mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. supposed to like guarantee that in these big, in these decisions for head coach that there's at least like one minority
that is in the running for it.
Yeah. So yes,
Rooney rule.
Yeah. So for there to only be one. In all, how many teams? 32 teams? That's kind of crazy. That's not kind of crazy. That's really crazy. And the NFL needs to do better. They've known that they need to do better, and they just continue to refuse to do better.
It's like, refusing to learn? You're not isolated from the world and everything that's going on.
Maybe they feel like they're too big to care. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I thought that was interesting and something I definitely wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I know that at one point, the number was always low. I didn't realize it was that low.
Yeah. Be interesting to watch over the next year or two as, you know, teams start to switch coaches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that changes significantly or not. Because obviously there's a buzz going on around it.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. So, Twitter.
Yeah,
they recently had a campaign, their out of home campaign, which was billboards of famous or notable people that have tweeted previously, just dreaming and aspiring to, one would say, who they are today. Yeah. So, Megan Thee Stallion, one of her tweets from 2014 was, "I need a team because I promise rap gonna take off for me." And then you fast forward, what, 6-7 years later, she's Grammy winner, New Artist of the Year, etc. Literally on top of the world. And there's all these different spots where I guess their analytics team or whomever went through old tweets and picked out some that were really notable for people who are now kind of like in their stride and have made it.
So, I mean, I think that this, I don't know if it's internal or not, but Twitter has this thing called like tweeted into existence. So they know, they've seen this before on their platform where people have, you know, years ago tweeted like, "I will be a all-star, and then fast
one
forward.
One day I'm going to be working with.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I thought that this was a really well-crafted campaign. Like, it makes sense. This is how people are using your platform. Like, show that people are dreaming on your platform, and not only dreaming, but then realizing their dreams mm-hmm. on your platform, right? So I loved it. I did see an article, though, that was on, I want to say Ad Age or Ad Week, mm-hmm. where basically it was a black journalist who I believe works in social now. I don't want to say he was like, I'll use the word challenging. He was challenging the campaign in that, like, why is everybody that they use for the campaign an athlete or entertainer? Like, could they have used people in other fields to show the possibilities outside of sports and entertainment? I think that there is an opportunity to do something like that. Maybe not in a big out-of-home kind of way. Like, maybe if that campaign tweeted into existence was like a long-term multimedia, you know, like mm-hmm. it touched different touch points, different whatever. But like, if I'm a kid, so I'm assuming this person was talking about just like the influence on kids or young people, and I pass a billboard and it's someone who is, you know, top of their field in a field that I'm not familiar with, like if it's a top STEM, I'm not going to pay attention. But like, I know yeah. I know and I can relate to Megan Thee Stallion, or at least I know her. I know Issa Rae. I know, you know, who is it? Demi Lovato, whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're thinking about, as we know, advertising, you have a couple of seconds to grab attention. Mm-hmm. I'll see this big spot, but I have no idea, so I'm moving past it. Mm-hmm. Sports and entertainment is a world that is just recognizable. I agree with you. If it was something that was a little bit more long-term or built out, then yes, the strategy could have included some different fields. But I think for what they were trying to achieve,
even if it is like a larger campaign, we don't know. Like, but for the launch moment, to make a big splash, to get people's attention, you got to put people, you have to
who are known. Put,
yeah, people that people know.
Yeah,
and I mean, not unfortunately, but that's just like the nature of those fields, like sports and entertainment. People know
right.
them.
Now, if they are doing a spot at CES or something like that, then you can start using CEOs and top people in tech. Or if they're going to some like medical convention and they put spots there, then it makes sense. So to the point of, it's something larger and there's different spots and touch points, then yeah.
So I was like, and I forgot to drop it in the doc, but I'll send it to you. Because I was when I was reading the article, I was like, he's not wrong, but it would not have had the impact that it had if they didn't go the route that they went, I thought.
I completely agree.
Cool. So next on the list, we have a collab, Pharrell and Tiffany & Co. Everybody has seen Pharrell's been out in Paris with his new shades that I'm assuming will be dropping sometime soon, probably way out of my price range.
I can't afford right now.
Yeah, probably.
Right now.
You never know.
Haven't seen
the price tag yet, but I'm going to venture to say I can't afford them.
There's 50 diamonds in that joint.
They don't have a Swarovski version. No. Yeah. And I don't really have much to say about it other than
what Tiffany's is doing right now.
Yeah, like they're partnering with. Yeah, what is Tiffany doing? Like, not that the glasses were ugly or anything like that. Like, I'm sure somebody can afford them and somebody's gonna buy them. But between the partnership with Beyonce and Jay-Z, mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw Blue Ivy in there too because she was in that spot. This, like, there's clearly a switch going on over there, and I'm trying, like, what is going on? The Supreme collab that I don't even know ever came out or whatever.
I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, what is going on over there? How are you feeling about it?
I told you, they found themselves being stale. They were going for the affluent white folk that weren't buying anymore. Not in, I mean, they had gone, the brand had gone stale. So I think you've seen a research.
But how does a jewelry brand go stale? Like, what name? I mean, who's out here? Who are they competing against and doing this and compete in competition with? Who? Cartier doesn't do this. They stick to the rivers and the lakes that they used to. I mean, they're not really but, the lake. They are already the waterfall.
Right.
But
I think Cartier, to that point, they have already been that girl, so to speak.
But Tiffany's was that girl?
It was. Keyword. I think over a period of time, they just got stagnant and stale. They needed some sort of refresh. Their brand wasn't standing on its legacy or just on its own. So that's where you get the partnerships with Jay-Z and Beyonce, and where you have influencer partnerships with some of these younger kids, the Chloe and the Hallies, and now you're seeing a partnership with Pharrell. They're appealing to a newer, younger, fresher, hipper audience. Whereas before, I don't even think they were on their target list when it comes to demographics.
But it still is not making any sense to me, because you're talking about these glasses have 50 diamonds in them. So who in that new demo that they're trying to reach can afford that? Who, Beyonce, she had like the world's most expensive diamond on her neck. Who are we appealing to?
You have a point, but just because you can't afford those diamonds don't mean you can't afford nothing that Tiffany's has to offer.
True,
but we want our brand to be top of mind. We want our brand. We want people to aspire to. So therefore, you might not be able to afford the $5 million necklace, right, but you can afford the $500 bracelet.
But do you think it's working?
That I don't know.
I have not.
It's
seen
made me pay attention.
Anybody.
It's made me look at Tiffany's, whereas before I wouldn't have.
You've been into a Tiffany store and looked at the jewelry?
No, I mean, looked at, like, the spots and the...
Because we have a podcast and I put the link on there for you to look at it. What you mean?
No, we were just in the mall, like, a couple weeks ago. And literally, we stopped and had a conversation about Tiffany.
But you didn't go into the store?
I'm not going... I wasn't doing that anyway. No, because that's not fair. Because it's good advertising, I'm not necessarily going in the store.
But you were having a conversation as somebody who works in this industry,
right?
You think the person that they're trying to appeal to, they just want to have a conversation about their ads, or do they want?
No, that's not the point I'm making, Janelle.
What are you
I'm saying
to say?
It made me stop. So if I was in the market, say next week, 2 weeks from now, a year from now, and I wanted to get a ring, mm-hmm, or I wanted to get a bracelet or a piece of jewelry, I may be like, oh, Pharrell, Beyonce, Chloe and Halle, Tiffany's. Let me look on their site, see what they got.
Okay. If you say so. I mean, I...
What is your reservation? I mean, what are you... You're saying it's not working.
Because I still don't know what their stuff looks like. Okay, you're appealing to this younger demo, but like, you're appealing to them and selling them what?
No, it ain't fair.
Yeah, it is. Like, at some point, you got to show me the product that I can afford. Do they still sell those little charm bracelets? I really hope not. Remember that everybody had in middle school? You know?
I don't know. Listen, all I know, what I do know, is that time will tell. As a strategist, and you know, you're saying Tiffany does not need to do this. Pull, like you said, from popular culture, or like you said, slap hip-hop on to their brand. Mm-hmm. I said, what would you do? You know, as a brand strategist, if they came to you and said, we need to do something from an advertising marketing perspective, what do we do?
So yeah, so to that, my response is, you can still tie yourself to current pop culture and the hot folks, but also Tiffany's is a heritage brand. The brands that they're competing against, the Cartiers, the David Yurmans, they're not having to do this because they're relying, whether it's good design or when you think about Cartier, you think about heritage. When I think about Tiffany & Co., I think about the heritage of the brand. Mm-hmm. So like, instead of just, I brought up the example of like Anya Taylor-Joy walking out of a bodega with a hit, you know, with Halfway Crooks playing in the background. Like, you partner with a Beyonce and you have her, you know, step into the archive, pull her favorite, her five, favorite archive pieces that we reintroduce. You partner with Pharrell to dig into the archive and pull out his five favorite pieces to reintroduce. That way, that way you still get to attach yourself to what's current, attach yourself to these influencers or these people who, you know, have influence, whatever, but you're also showing people that, yeah, we've been here. We've been doing this. Look at this piece from the 20s, the 30s, 40s, whatever, however long ago.
That's what Beyonce did with those diamonds, though. Weren't they from Tiffany's archive? The yellow diamond?
I don't know. Did you just look that up and find
the answer? No. While you were speaking, it made me think of that. But it was.
Maybe. Well, I mean, that should have been the story around it then.
Right. To that end. Yeah. Good point. That's valid. I appreciate that perspective.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But, you know, again, I will say that the sunglasses, though, were kind of fly. But you were saying something in pre-production. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Nothing. He said nothing in pre-production. Moving right along then.
We talked about Joshua Kissi a couple of times on the podcast, especially in recent episodes, for the work that he's began doing with LinkedIn. So recently, a LinkedIn spot dropped that he directed, and it was called Welcome Professionals. And it's just a spot that talks about how professionals look different than what they are, what we've used to, or are accustomed to saying what professional looks like. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much a spot that has folks in all different fields and how they show up professionally. And it pushes the narrative even further from what he's talked about as far as creatives using LinkedIn as a platform or another avenue to show their work and also to get some more traction. But the spot is brilliant. I really love it. It feels authentic. It's something I didn't know LinkedIn needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From how they're pushing their platform, not only from a work platform, but to a social work platform from a professional standpoint.
Yeah. I agree. I was just going to say, I agree there. I think that LinkedIn is one of those platforms where it's like we all use it. We all know it's necessary, but we don't give it the same like credence or attention that we do other platforms or like content creators. You know, it's all about IG and now TikTok and all this kind of stuff. But you know, we talked about how no one is really taking or was taking LinkedIn seriously as a platform for content creators until Joshua Kissi kind of alerted everybody, which is why I think that this spot, I like the spot simply because he directed it and it shows that like LinkedIn isn't stupid, right? So it's like, okay, if we're going to make a spot and we got this person who's advocating for us without us asking him to advocate for us or paying him to advocate for us on a whole other platform, we should have him, he should be a part of the creative.
LinkedIn's not stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lies in that statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes tons of sense. Also, it was really cool that he was able to incorporate his friends and family, his wife and son were literally in the spot. So that gives it another level of authenticity as well.
Yeah. Put your people on. I hope they got an extra check too. Two extra checks.
Okay. Yeah, right. But yeah, shout out to Joshua Kissi. Great work. Thank you. You know, like continuing to advocate and be for the people.
For sure. For sure. There's another spot that came out too for Dove. Not sure if people know, but Dove, their like, I guess their major like kind of purpose platform is around the Crown Act, and the Crown and just legislation around like race-based hair discrimination. Mm-hmm. So in the past like several years, they've put out spots that center around that. So they just dropped a new one that's called As Early as Five, which basically in their research, in Dove's research, it shows that Black girls are kind of they experience race-based or hair-based discrimination. Race-based hair discrimination as early as 5 years old, which then travels with them through school to college, unless you go to an HBCU.
Right.
Or even sometimes if you do go to HBCU, and then into the workplace, right? So this was just kind of shedding light on that and how it's not, that discrimination is not yet illegal in all states like you would think it would be in the year 2022.
It's wild. I remember my nephew being in kindergarten, five.
Wow.
Literally, and he had plaits in his hair. And he went to school. It was a private school. It's a private Christian school.
Of course it was.
And they were told that he couldn't have his hair like that.
Wow.
It's
so imagine what that tells a kid at that age, that like the way you wear your hair, the way your hair grows out of your scalp is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of unlearning.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah. I appreciate Dove, you know, considering their reach and their platform and using their voice to amplify that this is a need. So a part of the campaign was having folks go and sign a petition to have the Crown Act pass at a more broader scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Beautiful spot.
Beautiful. So our dude, Kaby Lame. I hope we're saying his name right.
I hope so too.
He actually, I just saw Boss recently did like a brand refresh. Mm-hmm. So they have partnered with, it feels like, a gazillion people,
mm-hmm,
to be kind of like brand partners for their new rollout or their brand refresh. And Kaby is one of them.
Yay, good for him. Coming off of last week, or
considering
the last episode
we were talking about TikTok and how he didn't make the list, even though he was top two as far as in followers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you say with that or without that, whatever, that brands and different outlets do see him as, hey, let's partner with him.
Well, I hope they not only see him, but I hope they're paying him well, too, because I think that can be part of the problem as well. A lot of these brands...
Man, don't say that.
What? I think a lot of these brands see creators.
Just because I hope that's not the case. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, I hope that's not the case with him, but let's not... like act like some of these brands don't offer these black creators
less than
white creators. Mm-hmm. It's documented. Yeah. I just hope that he has good representation, mm-hmm, and people, you know, handling his business. If he's not handling it, people who are handling his business on his behalf, that are making sure that he's getting what he's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to him though.
For sure, yeah.
I love a good come up.
I know, same. And then the last thing we have on the list is actually something that came out quite a while ago, and I think it might have come out when we were like on a bit of a hiatus,
mm-hmm,
and we didn't talk about it last week, but I think it just keeps like coming up in my IG.
I haven't seen it.
So, Solange's creative studio, creative agency, St. Heron.
Mm-hmm.
Partnered with For Keeps Books, which is a small bookstore in Atlanta that's run by a woman named Rosie Duffy. And Rosa Duffy. They kind of specialize in like really rare first edition books, black books and things of that nature. And so she partnered with her to kind of create volume one of like the St. Heron library. So in that library, there's books from Octavia Butler and Toni Morrison and things of that nature, that people of that nature that you can kind of check out. So you can check out a book, read it, they give you the shipping, send it back. And the first collection was sponsored by Aesop, the
hand,
what do you call it? Hand, yeah.
Fragrance. So,
fragrance.
Yeah.
Brand, whatever. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of, I keep trying to check it out and see if I can get a book. They're always all, you know, checked out. And I have been trying to get to For Keeps Books since they opened.
Really?
Every time I go to Atlanta, but they have like really weird hours and I was always there on like an off day. Mm. So I love this. And it makes sense. Like if you see For Keeps and just like their aesthetic and like what they do, and you think about like Solange and her brand and what's saying, it's just like, duh, that makes so much sense.
Right.
I'm excited to see, or interested to see, if they always partner with a brand for each kind of collection that drops, or if it'll be like the same brand, or if they'll stop using brands, how that works. But I think it's a really smart, cool idea, and get your hands on some first edition, very rare, limited edition work by some Black folks.
Yeah, it's wild. I wonder how they decide that they're willing to loan these special rare editions out.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably things that, because they're at that bookstore, they have kind of like this like library table, so those books like don't leave that place. You okay. can sit here and read them and look through them, but you can't buy them.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's only the books that she has multiple copies and things like that that they put on the site to that they would trust that people would actually return, or you know, are you charged the full price of the book if you don't return it? I don't right. know what yeah. the rules are, but I'm sure they are not giving out anything that's too rare. Because some of, you know, not the books that are on Solange's list, but some of the books that that for keep sells, or some of the books that I've seen just on other sites, like when looking for like first edition, like Nikki Giovanni books or like Langston Hughes, mm-hmm. like those, they can go for thousands and thousands yeah, of dollars. Literally.
And she has some on here that are signed.
Yeah. It makes it even more expensive and rare. Right.
Yeah. When I first like read the headline and didn't read the article, I'm like, well, this is very random. So she's seeing the Aesop attached to it. I was like, whoa, lots of collaboration going on
There's
here.
There's a lot of X's in it.
Where, how? But that makes sense. The initiative being sponsored maybe by different brands with different seasons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a cool initiative.
Yep, agree. One more thing, though, before we leave Above the Fold. And it's not even like a moment that happened or anything. But we talked at the beginning of the pod about it being the start of Black History Month tomorrow. So what are your predictions for these brands and their Black History Month messaging?
None. They're exhausted. They're not doing any, like, there's not going to be much.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think we're going to get a Snapchat smile to break the chains? Mm-hmm. No? Aw, damn.
I think they are quietly trying to going to try to skate by this February.
Yeah, they said we tidy like, up like
that.
Okay.
Oh, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, that was a great time in history. We yeah. really did our part.
Yeah, like, we put it's up over. Our black square, it's over.
Yeah, we got past that, you know.
Yeah.
The world is great now because of all the attention they gave it 2 years ago.
Yo, know, this is the first time in quite a few years that I have not worked on a Black History Month campaign.
See, you already feeling it.
That right. could be the nature.
That's relative, right?
Yeah, but
I haven't heard any rumblings.
Yeah, me either. And also, I think I when I came in here, I was kind of talking about just my theory of like more work versus less work mm-hmm. in Black History Month, and how maybe there is more work to be done, just not by
us, right?
So
let's go with that.
Yeah, can't wait to see what the white folks come up with for Black History Month.
Let's go with that. Because you know what I'm doing?
Resting. Like my ancestors wanted.
Black History Month is a month of rest.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Janelle.
I saw you over there studying, so let's see what you got.
You know what? I said, you know, it's about to be Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Let's do this game segment. Guess that spokesperson. Let's go easy, you okay. know, because cool. she deserves.
I do.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so the brand is Campbell's.
He's lying like shit. Okay. Campbell's.
Right, you probably already know who it is.
No, I don't. You haven't given me any hints.
All right, so this particular person was drafted into their sport in 1999.
Okay.
They never achieved the highest level of their sport.
Okay.
And they went to college at Syracuse.
Is this person a football player?
Yes.
Is this person a, like, news, like, anchor on TV?
Has been.
has been prominently.
How many questions?
Excuse you. Mind your business. Damn.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so scratch that from the record. Has this person ever... Has this person... Does this person have a gap?
No.
Oh, damn.
Bonus. Ended their career with the Minnesota Vikings.
Who is Donovan McNabb?
Yes, ding. That last clue ain't helped you. Did it?
No, it didn't. Because I was going to be, I was like, it's either Donovan McNabb or Michael Strahan. So as soon as you said no gap, I knew it was Donovan McNabb. But thank you. That was a nice, that was a good one. That was a good
you
one.
You remember the spot he did with his mom?
Yeah. And I, but in my head, it was Michael Strahan with his mom. And I was just like, it's somebody with their mom. Oh, I got to pull that one out the archive for,
yeah,
for
that's
IG.
A good one.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's Guess That Spokesperson.
That's it. Janelle wins this week.
Yeah. All right. So maybe I think your strategy was that would inspire me to go easy on you next time, which we'll see. Maybe. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Easy is relative, though.
Yeah. Because you be, I don't, yeah.
Stop.
I need a study book. She gives a lesson in Black advertising history.
Or just be on the internet, you know?
Go on with your Black ads.
Yes.
Or that ain't it.
Yes. You Who go you first.
Got? Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Go on with your Black ads goes to Torn in Between the Two.
Lucky.
I'm gonna go with Joshua Kissy spots for LinkedIn because that's you know, when you think about real work, authentic work, I appreciate it. For That Ain't It, I'm gonna go with
You don't have to have one.
We didn't really have a Kanye.
He's always That Ain't It. So, okay.
Don't have a That Ain't It this week.
I'm gonna agree with you there. For my Going With Your Black ads, I'm going to go with Shadair Sanders partnering with Gatorade.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
you know, HBCU love and all that.
Okay. Yeah. Notable mention is also Dove.
Always, yeah. That's a pretty...
Not always.
When they do those kind of spots, okay, around the Crown Act and stuff. That's what I mean.
Yeah, they know how to, you know how to get us, yeah. I guess.
You know, there's a couple of brands that they know how to pull out the heartstrings, right, and whatever. Mm-hmm. They have a formula.
But weren't... Yeah.
Say it.
Weren't they... didn't they have a spot where they had, like, all the different shades? Was it them?
Oh, yeah, that was...
Yeah, that's why I'm like, not always. Like,
they tried to do one. They tried to do a Michael Jackson "It's Black, It's White" situation. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
He was like, what?
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Okay, so this time they got it right.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you all for watching and listening. As always, follow us where you listen to podcasts. Follow us on the social networks. There's Instagram. There's Twitter. There's LinkedIn. And obviously on YouTube, like and subscribe, comment, let us know if you see anything out there in those streets.
Yeah. Check out the site too.
Yeah.
WhichOfBlackAds.com. Yeah.
Until next time.
Thank
see y'all.
You.
Thanks.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. God. That's what I'm talking about. It was so Black ass. It was Black ass.